Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
This is Free Range with Von Miller, the podcast where I step outside the lines and I take you with me. Each week, we're talking everything from the biggest stories around the league to the biggest stories off the field. This isn't your average sports podcast. This is game meets culture, locker room meets living room, and no topic is off limits. So if you're into good conversations that ruffle a few feathers, join me every Wednesday and follow Free Range with Von Miller everywhere you get your podcast.
The Rich Zeoli Show podcast is sponsored by Mike Venaria Jr. with Osperity Private Wealth.
Hi, I'm Mike Venaria Jr., Wealth Management Specialist. Make your retirement dreams a reality by creating your retirement plan today. Call me at 856-252-0107.
It's been a busy afternoon. It passed the House with only one vote no. That was Representative Clay Higgins. I read you his reasoning earlier. And now, as the House transfers the bill to the Senate, and we'll go straight to President Donald Trump for his signature. The Epstein fervor, as Fox News put it, has not had near the impact in the Senate as the House, which was thrust into chaos by the bipartisan push to see the release of the files earlier this year. House Speaker Mike Johnson put the House into recess to quell the Epstein drama and has since been accused of running from a vote on the House. But today, the vote happened and it passed. Basically, with, you know, like I said, only one vote no. Senate Majority Leader John Thune said that Republicans were already mulling the bill through the hotline process, which is where legislation is considered among lawmakers before making it to the floor. Thune said the plan, if the bill clears the hotline, would be to have it on the floor before the lawmakers leave for Thanksgiving or recess at the end of this week. We'll see what the Democrats have to say, he said, but it's the kind of thing probably that could perhaps move by unanimous consent. That ended up not being necessary, with the bill making its way through the upper chamber without a full vote. The calculus surrounding the Epstein bill changed in the Senate, too, given that President Donald Trump, who for months railed against attempts to release the files, threw his support behind the legislation over the weekend. He charged that it was a Democratic hoax perpetrated by radical left lunatics in order to deflect from the great success of the Republican Party. Nobody cared about Jeffrey Epstein when he was alive, and if the Democrats had anything, they would have released it before our landslide election victory. Senate Republicans, like their counterparts in the House, wanted more transparency on the issue when the Epstein saga resurfaced over the summer, but cautioned that no materials should be released until the names or identifying traits of victims are combed through and kept safe. But despite calls from Speaker Johnson to amend the bill to include those kinds of guardrails in the legislation, it's unlikely to happen in the Senate. Well, now it's not going to happen in the Senate because it's on the way to the White House anyway. So there you go. That is the latest on that. And if that happens, we will see if anything like that happens. Senator Ron Johnson was on Fox News earlier today expressing a lot of frustration over Thomas Crooks. You know, we spent a lot of time on that yesterday. If you missed the interview with Susan Crabtree, it is podcast for you. We also posted the video on our YouTube page as well. You should definitely watch it, take a look, take a listen. So much coming out about this. I mean, Thomas Crooks, and something that Ron Johnson said earlier today when he said, you know, the fact that a lot of this stuff, a lot of the information relating to Thomas Crooks was in burn bags, is just insane. We know now that he was into furries, using they-them pronouns, had at one point been pro-Trump, and then he was radicalized during COVID and became viciously anti-Trump. And the questions around that are still something that we're all grappling with. But what we know is that the FBI, Department of Justice, not transparent under Biden, really not transparent under Trump in terms of getting the information out about Thomas Crooks. And why is that? Well, you know, we're going to have to figure that out as well. But really good reporting by Miranda Devine and Susan Crabtree. So I would highly recommend that you go and take a listen to the interview that we did with Susan Crabtree yesterday. She's terrific, you know, and she's always been a great friend and really making herself available to come on the show whenever she possibly can, and never turning us down ever. her latest tweets on this matter, by the way, because I was following her on Twitter earlier today. In 2019, ABC News admitted to delivery. I'm sorry, that's something different. Let me come back to that. Let's go back to the question on Thomas Crooks here. See if I can find her tweet on this. Oh, she actually reposted us too. She said that thanks so much, Miranda Devine, for the shout out in this bombshell of a story that Trump shooter Thomas Crooks and a big social media online footprint was active on similar types of gender-bending sexual sites as Charlie Kirk's suspected assassin as well. The question now is which federal agency is paid to protect our continuity of government and our own lives, lie to the American people, and to what extent? Several key sources told me Crooks was not a person of record with the Secret Service before January 13th, meaning he was not on their radar. No agents had visited him, but that's not to say the FBI didn't know about him, even though they told congressional investigators they didn't know about him last year. We asked the FBI over the weekend the same question, and the agency declined to comment. So that's the latest on that. And I think that, you know, look, I mean, it's definitely a situation where if you are frustrated with the lack of transparency, this is kind of getting very old here because we're now at a point where we've been lied to by these people so many times, which is why there's calls for a new investigation around this. Voluminous material that gives us an inkling about the trajectory that Thomas Crooks took to become a 20-year-old assassin. I don't know if we're ever going to get the truth on that. I don't know because, it's the kind of thing they kind of bury this stuff, but... But I'm glad Ron Johnson's out there calling for this. And he's a powerful guy, and he's all over this. And I know there's a lot of frustration right now today with the DOJ and the FBI, no doubt about that. The president had the Crown Prince of Saudi Arabia in the Oval Office today talking about their $1 trillion investment in the United States. So this is cut number one from earlier today with the president. Take a listen.
You know, when you invest $1 trillion, that's national security for us, too. Because it creates jobs, it creates a lot of things. And I would say, Scott, right, when you hear one country is putting $1 trillion into the United States, that creates national security. And, you know, I think that they don't have to say that, but I think a big part of that is also the fact that tariffs are in play. But even beyond tariffs, that's a real ally that will do that, creates a lot of power for the United States.
Okay. So that's a lot of money. Obviously, 9/11 comes up, and 9/11 is a big deal. And 9/11 is it's the kind of thing where we've talked about Saudi Arabia's involvement in this. The Crown Prince was asked about that today by a member of the press, and he answered the question. This is cut 26. Saudi Crown Prince Mohammed bin Salman on 9/11. Take a listen.
I feel painful about, you know, the families of 9/11 in America. But, you know, we have to focus on reality. Reality based on CIA documents and based on a lot of documents that Osama bin Laden, he used Saudi people in that event for one main purpose, is to destroy this relation, to destroy the American-Saudi relation. That's the purpose of 9/11. So whoever buying that... That means they are helping Osama bin Laden's purpose of destroying this relation. He knows that strong relation between America and Saudi Arabia is bad for extremism, it's bad for terrorism. And we have to approve him wrong and to build our relation, continue developing our relation. It's critical in the safety of the world. It's critical against extremism and terrorism.
And then it got ugly in the Oval Office with Mary Bruce asking about Epstein and then the president threatening to take away the broadcast license and bringing up the FCC chairman, Brendan Carr. Look, I laugh on this. I've been very critical of Brendan Carr. I don't want them going after ABC News. I don't like this stuff, but it's just classic Trump. And, you know, it's what he does. And, you know, I mean, the good news is Brendan Carr's bark is bigger than his bite. So is Trump's on this stuff. He may sue. Which he can. I mean, not over asking a question, obviously, but you know, suing ABC News and 60 Minutes and the BBC, certainly. But I don't like the idea of the government. I don't even like the threats, and I wish he wouldn't do that. I wish he wouldn't do that. And I've said that before, so I'm consistent on that point. But this is also what he does. So, you know, I'm not going to, like, lose my mind over it either, because it's what he does. I think it would be better for him if he didn't. Because at some point when a future FCC does start going after conservative sites and trying to shut them down for hate speech and everything else, we just don't want to give them any, you know, any impetus here. But here's cut two.
Mr. President, why wait for Congress to release the Epstein files? Why not just do it now?
You know, it's not the question that I mind. It's your attitude. I think you are a terrible reporter. It's the way you ask these questions. You start off with a man who's highly respected, asking him a horrible, insubordinate and just a terrible question. And you could even ask that same exact question nicely. You're all psyched. Somebody psychs you over at ABC. They're going to psych it. You're a terrible person and a terrible reporter. As far as the Epstein files is, I have nothing to do with Jeffrey Epstein. I threw him out of my club many years ago because I thought he was a sick pervert. But I guess I turned out to be right. But you know who does have? Bill Clinton, Larry Summers, who ran Harvard, was with him every single night, every single weekend. They lived together. They went to his island many times. I never did. Andrew Weissman, I hear. All these guys were friends of his. You don't even talk about those people. You just keep going on the Epstein files. And what the Epstein is a Democrat hoax to try and get me not to be able to talk about the $21 trillion that I talked about today. It's a hoax. Now, I just got a little report, and I put it in my pocket, of all the money that he's given to Democrats. He gave me none, zero, no money to me. But he gave money to Democrats. And people are wise to your hoax, and ABC's your company, your crappy company, is one of the perpetrators. And I'll tell you something.
So why not just sign it down?
I think the license should be taken away from ABC because your news is so fake and it's so wrong. And we have a great commissioner, the chairman, who should look at that, because I think when you come in and when you're 97% negative to Trump, and then Trump wins the election in a landslide, that means obviously your news is not credible, and you're not credible as a reporter. So I've answered your question. You should go and look at the Democrats who received money from Epstein, who spent their time. Larry Summers was with him all the time. That creep of the fund guy was with him all the time. What's his name?
Reid Hoffman.
I don't know Reid Hoffman, but I know he spends a lot of money on the radical left. Reid Hoffman, in my opinion, should be under investigation. He's a sleazebag. And those are the people, but they don't get any press. They don't get any news. And you're not after the radical left because you're a radical left network. But I think the way you ask a question with the anger and the meanness is terrible. You ought to go back and learn how to be a reporter. No more questions from you. Who else has a question?
No suit for you. 1 year. Now, the president was also speaking with McDonald's franchisees owners last night. And he kind of joked about the, remember the event he did in, well, how could you forget, in Bucks County when he worked the fry line and did the drive-through? Of course, that was one of the most impactful moments of the 2026 campaign, or 2024 campaign. Something we'll never forget. One of those moments, it absolutely helped him win Pennsylvania. No question about it. It was key. And this is what he said at the McDonald's Impact Summit in D.C. last night with a bunch of franchise owners, cut four.
I'm thrilled to be here with the men and the women who are really the heart and soul of one of the greatest, most admired, and most successful companies in the history of the world, frankly. The one and only McDonald's. I've gone there a couple of times. And I'm honored to stand before you as the very first former McDonald's fry cook ever to become president of the United States. And I actually was there for about 30 minutes, and that was 30 minutes longer than Kamala was there. Despite her job at McDonald's, that didn't work out too well. And the person at McDonald's that informed us off the record that she never worked there, whoever you are, we appreciate that. That was really nice.
And he talked about how loyal of a customer he is. And the big revelation, he got Bobby Kennedy, even Bobby Kennedy to eat McDonald's. Say, what? I don't know if this is true or not, but maybe he might have taken a bite and put it back down. I can't imagine Bobby Kennedy being a big McDonald's guy. But then again, he might have had it for the first time, and it might have been one of those situations where he's like, oh my God, this is the greatest thing I've ever eaten in my life. And maybe now he can't eat anything but McDonald's. That's always the problem. Yeah, if you don't eat something like that, then you try it for the first time, and you're just absolutely in love with it. And then you can only ever eat McDonald's, and you just become addicted. That's why when certain parents don't give their kids sugar, then the kid goes to college and tries candy for the first time, and then just becomes a complete sugar addict. Got to have a little moderation here. Cut five.
As you may have heard, I'm also one of your all-time most loyal customers. I really am. Well, I think that's good. I'm pretty sure that's good. While other politicians fly around on campaign planes stocked with expensive catering, on Trump Force One, prior to ascending to Air Force One, which is quite a nice plane also, we served only McDonald's almost every time. On occasion, we couldn't find one, which is pretty hard to believe. We'd go another route, but we really did. You fed us very well, and I even got Bobby Kennedy to eat a Big Mac. And he told me he loved it.
I mean, how could you not? Although I would go quarter pounder with cheese myself. That's me. But it turns out Trump's big on the filet of fish. Now, that surprised me. I'm not going to lie. It surprised me because I've only ever seen him eat burgers, and I was surprised by that. Plus, I don't think I've had a filet of fish in years and years and years, but not being critical of it, just, you know, I was just surprised. That's all. Cut number six.
Doing honest, beautiful, hard work, and happy family
Seven.
Sitting down to a really great meal.
Oh, six. Yeah.
Because no matter who you are, everyone loves something at McDonald's. There's always something to have. I like the fish. I like it. You could do a little bit more tartar sauce, so please. Seriously. I hate when I say, do you have any tartar sauce? Do you understand that? Yes, yeah, he understands that.
And what's his go-to order, Matt? What were you saying?
Reportedly, his go-to order at McDonald's, is what he gets like almost every time, is a Big Mac, a filet of fish, a large fries, a Diet Coke, and a chocolate milkshake.
Not exactly Maha.
That's a great order, though.
That's a great order. I would swap out the Big Mac for the QPC, quarter pounder with cheese.
The double quarter pounder, even better.
That's a lot of burger right there.
That's a delicious burger.
So you know, this is what happens when you do this. It's the fourth hour, it's dinner time, and we're all starving, and then this is what happens every time.
Yeah,
every time.
I hate that you waited till 6 o'clock to air these McDonald's clips. I'm starving. There's no way I'm not going to McDonald's after the show now.
No, you have to now. You have to. No doubt about it. And if I get bumped tomorrow morning, I'm definitely getting a burger. Well, I got to do Jimmy Fallon's show. So I went into McDonald's in the city. It's very expensive in New York City. Oh, my God. It is not cheap to eat there in New York City.
How much is it? Out of curiosity, did you buy something or did you just walk out?
I'll double check tomorrow. But I remember walking in there and being like, oh, my God, this is expensive. There was a line. And I was impatient, so I left. But I remember being blown away by how expensive it is in New York City. And I don't know if that's because they put some God, like, who knows, like tax on it or something like that. But or it's just the nature of New York City. I don't know. But that's a good order, though. And then on CNN, they were very upset that the president likes filet of fish. And our buddy David Urban had to jump in here on this. Alencia Johnson, enraged that President Trump orders a filet of fish at McDonald's. Absolutely appalled by this. Cut seven.
The best thing I heard from the president today is he's a fan of the filet of fish.
That was the best thing
you
heard?
The McDonald's summit. It was just great. It's like, listen, Donald Trump, listen, Alencia, you're right about the messaging. When Trump went to East Palestine, Ohio, after the train wreck, he was in a McDonald's, and he put his arm around the McDonald's, the franchisee, and he said, you know, he looked at the menu, and he said, you know what, I probably know this menu better than you do. He connects with real people. He did that again today. It was a spectacular performance in front of those franchisees.
Well, that's what it exactly is. It's just a performance. He cannot connect with the hurting people about what they're experiencing.
David Urban.
I think he won the popular vote.
Thank you both for being here.
I'll tell you what, it was a masterful performance, and that's all it was a performance. No, he actually really does eat that stuff. Like, he really does. All right, quick break. Coming up, the Senate has officially sent the Epstein files over to the president. We have the audio of that vote for you. We'll play that in just a second. That's the Big Story of the Hour, brought to you by Dr. Mike Veneria. Veneria Dental, two locations to serve you, Cinnaminson and Woodbury. Check those year-end benefits. Don't leave them on the table. VeneriaDental.com. Coming right back.
The Rich Cioli Show on Talk Radio 1210 WPHD.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
This is Free Range with Von Miller, the podcast where I step outside the lines and I take you with me. Each week, we're talking everything from the biggest stories around the league to the biggest stories off the field. This isn't your average sports podcast. This is game meets culture, locker room meets living room, and no topic is off limits. So if you're into good conversations that ruffle a few feathers, join me every Wednesday and follow Free Range with Von Miller everywhere you get your podcast.
All right, we're getting through our fourth and final hour here, getting ready for McDonald's. The president has said, or the White House has said, the president will sign the Epstein bill as soon as it reaches his desk. It was voted on in the Senate by unanimous consent a short time ago. We have the audio of that for you, and this is what it sounded like and looked like if you're still watching on our YouTube stream at 1210WPHD.com on YouTube. Take a watch.
Without objection, so ordered.
The Senate has now passed the Epstein bill as soon as it comes.
There you go. Now, according to the president's schedule today, he has dinner with the Crown Prince at 7:15 p.m., and the Crown Prince is scheduled to leave at 9:10 p.m., so he could sign it between now and 7 o'clock, in which case then we'll certainly bring that to you if that is the case, or he may wait till after dinner. Who knows? I don't know if he's having McDonald's with the Crown Prince. Matt, any idea if he's having dinner with the Crown Prince?
The White House did not mention what the dinner will consist of, only that it'll occur at 7:15. So he's got a window to sign it, but I have a feeling it won't be done till later tonight. We might miss it live. Who knows, though? Maybe we'll be lucky and we'll get something pretty cool.
I wonder if he'll say anything or he'll just sign it.
I don't know. I mean, if he's going to speak, then obviously it's not going to happen until after the Crown Prince says goodbye. I know if he's just going to sign it real quick, then I guess he could theoretically knock it out before dinner.
Yeah, he could. Well, there you go.
No one Trump, though. He's going to want to speak.
Probably. And then savage everybody who said that he was, and kill everybody and, go after all these people who said that he was part of it or something. And that will conclude the Epstein drama for now, anyway. And now what? You said they have 30 days. Is that right?
Yeah, 30 days for the Department of Justice to release everything.
30 days. Okay. Well, we will see. I'm shocked at how quickly this has all happened. I don't think anybody could predict this. But maybe Trump will turn out to be like I said when we played that clip of actually, do you still have that? Do you have that guy who was on with Rakanish from over the weekend? I know we played it yesterday.
Yeah, give me 2 seconds and I'll load it up.
It would just be interesting if my theory on this is true. If Trump was the one who went to the police about Epstein in the first place, and then Rakanish was like, well, why wouldn't he just be telling everybody that? Well, maybe he will. And maybe that's the... Because he does like playing these Jedi mind trick games on people. It's very possible that that could be the case. And that would really blow people's freaking minds. No doubt about that. Stacey Plaskett, who was texting with Jeffrey Epstein, And she was saying that she was only texting with him while there was congressional testimony going on because he was a constituent of hers. But this was years after he had been arrested already for his underage sex crimes. Remember, there were two different Jeffrey Epstein arrests. And that's what I mean. Trump distanced himself from him. No, I mean, that's what happened. But then Democrats still associated with him. Democrats associated with him, and Democrats did that. Plaskett and these other, they took money from him. They tried to destroy Trump using Jeffrey Epstein, Michael Cohen, Stacey Plaskett, Michael Wolff. Like they knew the guy was a perv. They knew the guy was a creep. And yet they still associated with him. And that's the part about this that I don't think this, none of this should have happened in the way this was handled. And I think, that, as I've said, Pam Bondi and the DOJ completely blew this. But holy cow, I mean, if it turns out to be that Trump was the one who worked with the local authorities on getting Epstein because he wanted to bring him down, that would be a ultimate plot twist in all this. No doubt about that. Do you have it, Matt? Just play the audio if you have it. All right, go ahead.
On that 2011 email, we'll put it up on the screen, and I will ask you, the dog that hasn't barked is Trump. What do you think he's referring to?
Well, I think Jeffrey Epstein is referring to the fact that he believes that Donald Trump talked to Michael Reiter, who was the Palm Beach police chief, in 2004 and began the first investigation into Jeffrey Epstein. I suspect that Jeffrey Epstein, in his conversation or email with Maxwell, was saying he was 75% there, believing that Trump might have been the whistleblower at the time. Again, you have to remember that particular year, the two men had a falling out, not only over the fact that Ghislaine Maxwell was taking young women from his spot, Mar-a-Lago, for Jeffrey Epstein, but they also had a nasty real estate deal that both men were trying to get. So there was bad blood between the two of them.
Okay, so it's a combination then of the Trump being the dog who didn't bark and that additional line on that email. We'll put it back on the screen. Police chief, etc. I'm 75% there, meaning he's 75% there to believing that Trump is an informant against him.
That is what I believe, based on my research of years of the Jeffrey Epstein story.
Okay, but
you also have
to
remember that the House Speaker at one point.
Barry, if Donald Trump were an informant, if Donald Trump dropped the dime on Jeffrey Epstein, why wouldn't he today, in this climate, be shouting it from the mountaintops? I'm the one who put him away.
That's a question that only the president can answer. And again, the Palm Beach police have never said that Donald Trump was an informant. However, not too long ago, the House Speaker, Mike Johnson, said that Donald Trump was an informant on this particular case. So it is rather confusing.
Because that's what Trump would do. He would just play mind games with everybody, and then it would turn out that he's the one that was the guy that brought Epstein down. And that would really blow up in Democrats' faces. Well, either way, he's going to sign it, so we'll probably find out more about that. But I'm just pointing out, he was not associating with Epstein anymore, and Epstein was trying to bring Trump down. And all these Democrats, like Stacey Plaskett and others, were still associating with Epstein and still trying to get info and dirt on Trump going back to 2016. And they didn't get anything on him, but they had no problem associating with the guy and no problem trying to use whatever information he had to bring Trump down. And certainly if there was anything, Epstein would have given it to them because he hated Trump's guts and Trump hated him. And these Democrats were desperate. And then when they were in charge of the Department of Justice and they had access to all this information and they could have used anything they wanted against Trump, any little thing they could have used, and they didn't. So, by the way, my sympathies, condolences to Mike Braun at Mike Braun Health on X, who wrote, "We lost a great listener to 1210 WPHT this past Friday. My sister Donna passed away from a battle with pancreatic cancer. We both were loyal listeners to all the shows and would text back and forth about it. Her husband Paul is a listener as well. I know my sister was on the Hawaiian cruise with Rich. We will miss her." Mike, very sorry for your loss. Very sorry for to Paul as well. Very sad to hear that. I do remember meeting Donna on that cruise. That was an interesting cruise because I wasn't able to spend the whole cruise with everybody because Patrick had just been born and they wouldn't let him on the ship. And I wound up doing a cocktail party with everybody. Very sad to hear that. I'm so sorry. Pancreatic cancer, it's a terrible, terrible thing. So you have my deep condolences, and I'm very sorry for you and your brother-in-law and everybody else. So I retweeted that, and very sad to hear that. A few months ago, I had the opportunity to do a book club with PragerU, and it was about Animal Farm. And the episode is out now. And we talked about, so what you do with these book clubs. Michael Knowles, who's a great talk show host, he's with Daily Wire. He hosts the PragerU Book Club. And I went out to California, if you remember, back in, I guess it was March, I think it was, kids were on spring break. We did the video out there. We sat down. I read the book, actually did read it. And then we sat down and we chatted about it. We talked about Animal Farm, Orwell, the kind of modern day thinking behind Orwell. This is before Mam Dani. This is before a lot of the commies today have risen to power. But we did this back in March, and they waited to publish this. Great. Michael Knowles will be on Thursday at 3. Wonderful. We'll kick off the show with him. That'll be excellent. He's a great guy. He's a big whiskey and cigar aficionado. So we'll talk about that as well with Michael on Thursday. But anyway, it was a really excellent interview. I want to give thanks to Jeff Travis. Jeff is a local guy who is the producer for PragerU, and Jeff lives in, he's from Delaware. He lives in California now. His mom, Judy Travis, is also the chair of the Republican Club in Delaware that I went to speak to a couple months ago, and they gave me just a wonderful, welcoming reception there in Delaware. It was a lot of fun to meet Judy and everybody in their team from the Republican Club there, and they gave me a beautiful cutting board. And I met Art, Judy's husband. They gave me a really nice cutting board, and they had, thank you, Rich, for coming to the Republican Club. It was really nice. And I was grateful to have that. So, but Jeff is the reason why, because Jeff is a listener of the show while he was local, and he still listens over there. You can listen on podcasts, you listen on the app, obviously you listen on streaming, whatever you want. But he set me up with the PragerU guys, and then they picked me to come out there and do that. I didn't get paid for it or anything, but they took care of all my expenses. It was great. It was a great honor to do it. So if you get a chance, and I retweeted it, it's also, I posted it on Instagram, and it's on YouTube as well. Please take a watch of the video. It's only 35 minutes, so it's a quick watch, but you'll learn a lot about the book, and we talk about Orwell. And we talk about some of the Orwellian concepts and what Animal Farm can really teach us about conformity and communism. And Orwell hated the communists, hated them. He was, and he hated fascists, and he just really hated any very authoritarian government, but particularly this Animal Farm mocks the idea that the famous line, of course, all animals are equal. Some are more equal than others. It's a line you know. There are a lot of great lines. When I reread that book for the interview, I was amazed at how much I had remembered that came right back to me. But then other things that I just over the years kind of forgot and associated with other things besides Animal Farm. But that they also did a children's edition of that, which it was a beautiful illustrated copy, and it was approved by the Orwell estate. So I bought both books. I bought the book, the paperback, the mass market paperback, and then the hard copy, the hardback of the graphic novel, I guess you'd call it, the illustrated novel. And I read that to my kids while we were out there, because I want them to know about, obviously, the dangers of communism and socialism and fascism and all the other isms that are out there, with the exception of capitalism. And it's interesting because as you read that book, and, you know, it's obviously a mock of the when the animals take over the farm, it's supposed to be Lenin and the October Revolution in Russia. And then the animals wind up basically becoming just like the people they replaced, and the animals start walking on two legs. So read it. Take a watch of that video. I think you'll enjoy it very, very much. me and Michael Knowles together for the PragerU Book Club, Animal Farm by George Orwell. I would say the cliche of it's never been more important, but really it's never been more important when you consider the people like Mamdani are winning now in places like New York City and the Seattle socialist mayor and AOC and Bernie and all these people are now the leaders of the Democrat Party and how acceptable, quote unquote, democratic socialism has become in America. So, yes, it probably is more important now than ever to read Animal Farm. And I would have picked, I may have picked 1984, but that had already been done. They gave me a list of books to pick, and then I gave them three, and they chose Animal Farm. So that's the genesis of how that came about, because there were a couple of others that were on the original list of 25 that they sent me. And I said, oh, I'd love to talk about that book and that book and that book. And then they said, well, pick your top three. I picked my top three. I think one of them also was Fahrenheit 450, whatever it is, by Ray Bradbury. I think it was that one, too. And then the one that you recommended, Matt, I think the geeky, nerdy one that you suggested. What was that one?
Was it Robert Nozick's Anarchy, State, and Utopia?
I think it was that. And then they said, yeah, nobody wants to read that, so go with Animal Farm. I think that's how it happened.
I love Robert Nozick. I recommend everyone in the audience read that book.
No, it is a great book. But I gave him three, and they picked Animal Farm. He said, we've always wanted to do Animal Farm. We've never had a chance to do it, so let's do it. And I said, great, because it's the shortest book. So, of all of them, that was the shortest book, because I did want to read it. You know what I mean? I didn't want to pull a George Costanza and watch the movie and find out that it was different. So I did actually read it. Granted, I read it on the flight out to L.A. It wasn't like I read it in advance, but Fahrenheit 451, Ray Bradbury. That was the other one that they wanted me to look at. But that one was long. That one's got, well, that's 156 pages. That's way too long. I think Animal House is what? Animal House, yeah. Imagine that.
Animal House would have been great.
Yeah, I wind up watching Animal House thinking it's Animal Farm set to a movie, and I'm like, well, you know, here's the thing. When they took the bar, the whole blanking bar, that's when I realized things had gone out of control. I'm like, what are you talking about? Like, what, the scene when they took the bar? No, you don't know? No? Was it over when the Germans bombed Pearl Harbor? What? Nothing? Why don't you just leave now? Yeah, you see, Animal Farm's 141 pages, and Ray Bradbury's book was 160-something pages, so I got the better. And what was your book again?
It was Anarchy, State, and Utopia by Robert Nozick.
Okay, let's see. How many pages is that?
I don't think it's that long. Maybe like 300.
334. Of course, he picks the longest.
Well,
right?
It's great. I like John Locke a lot, but Nozick has better prose. It's easier to digest, which I guess makes sense since it wasn't written 250 years ago like Locke. But that book is great. If you end up doing a second one, my vote would be for Nozick.
I'll keep it on the list. All right, I'll keep it on the list.
I think the other one that was in discussion was A Man's Search for Meaning, which is also really good. That book's not very long. You could read that on a flight.
No, that's a really good book. Yeah, Viktor Frankl, about his time in the concentration camp. That is a great book, actually. I would have done that, too. But, hey, Animal Farm was great. And when I got the one that had the illustrated pictures in it, which, you know, I said it was for my kids, it was really for helping me. So... Yeah, just saying. You know George Orwell's real name?
I don't. What is it?
It's not George Orwell. That's his pen
what
name.
Is it?
You don't know? You don't know. You're telling me you don't know.
You've got so much weird information about such weird things.
Yeah.
You don't know his real name?
You're like a walking, useless information encyclopedia. If you were set to a book, it'd be called Useless Information. Well, how do you not know the real name of George Orwell?
I don't know. I have no idea.
Did you even know that George Orwell was his pen name?
I did not. I'm embarrassed to say.
Unbelievable. Eric Blair was his real name. Eric Arthur Blair. And the thing about it is that we talk about this in the episode. Orwellian sounds a whole lot better than Blairian in terms of dystopian futures. Because we always talk about how Orwellian this is. It's become a thing. It's become a verb, I guess, or a noun or an adverb, whatever it is. But you know what I mean? Blairian would not have the same ring to it as Orwellian. If you say that's Orwellian, you know? So
that's a good point. I don't think I'd, you wouldn't weave that into a conversation too frequently.
No, no. So there you go. All right, well, check it out. Anyway, posted the link. Let me know your thoughts on it. Retweet it. Repost it for me. I'd appreciate that, because if they see a lot of people, a lot of eyes on it, they'll ask me back to do another one, and I won't do the book that Matt suggested. Quick break. We're coming right back. Don't go away.
The Rich Cioli Show on Talk Radio 1210 WPHD.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
This is Free Range with Von Miller, the podcast where I step outside the lines and I take you with me. Each week, we're talking everything from the biggest stories around the league to the biggest stories off the field. This isn't your average sports podcast. This is game meets culture, locker room meets living room, and no topic is off limits. So if you're into good conversations that ruffle a few feathers, join me every Wednesday and follow Free Range with Von Miller everywhere you get your podcast.
Okay. Awesome. Michael Knowles will be on Zoom with us on Friday, so or Thursday, so make sure you tune into our YouTube stream Thursday with big numbers for that. That'll be great. Tomorrow, I'll be in for Jimmy Fallon, and I will be doing my show as well. So I'll be doing double duty tomorrow, but luckily we only have a show till 6 tomorrow night, so we got Penn State basketball. So I'll be on America's Newsroom tomorrow morning, 9:40 a.m., then I'll be sticking around Fox and doing my show, and then I will be doing, I'm sorry, doing Jimmy's show, from, and then doing my show. So, yeah, anyway, that's tomorrow's plan. All subject to change, of course, but just so you know. So we got that. If you are just joining us, and I don't know where you've been because it's been an action-packed day today, the Epstein files are on their way to the White House right now. Past the House before we get on the air today, or right as we get on the air today, and then unanimous consent in the Senate on their way to the White House. The White House saying the president will sign it as soon as he gets it. So there you go. So it's been a jam-packed, action-packed day, and I don't understand how we got to this place where this has become so controversial. I mean, I understand it was controversial, but I really think this was a self-inflicted wound here by people in the administration, and I made that point before. But the way that it, you know, the whole little binder show, and then handing the stuff out and saying more's going to come out, and then nothing comes out, and then all you did was just you created this situation where people were saying, I want more. Are you promising me transparency? You're not delivering. And then it seemed like it was almost like they were covering it up. And now it just passes unanimously, with the exception of one vote, by a Republican who's concerned about some of the people who are in there who did nothing wrong, and guilt by association and some due process concerns, which is completely understandable. So how it got here at this point is just something we will be certainly analyzing tomorrow. No doubt about that. I didn't expect to be ending the show by saying that the bill is on the way to the president's desk tonight. I had no idea it was going to be that easy after all that, but here we are. So let's, you know, we'll see, win for transparency, and then hopefully innocent people are not dragged out in this, and Representative Clay Higgins' concerns are unfounded. Let's hope that that's the case. Have a great rest of your night tonight. Fox Across America with Jimmy Fallon is up next. Keep the conversation going on X at Rich Cioli, and please take a look at Facebook, Instagram, YouTube, and my TikTok as well. You'll see the PragerU Animal Farm video that's posted. Would love for you to give it some love and share it. That would be a big help. I'd appreciate it very, very much. Thank you for listening.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
This is Free Range with Von Miller, the podcast where I step outside the lines and I take you with me. Each week, we're talking everything from the biggest stories around the league to the biggest stories off the field. This isn't your average sports podcast. This is game meets culture, locker room meets living room, and no topic is off limits. So if you're into good conversations that ruffle a few feathers, join me every Wednesday and follow Free Range with Von Miller everywhere you get your podcasts.